Right. To our visitors this morning, welcome. So glad you could join us here. It's a privilege to have you in the house. I'm just wondering, all I see is fog. Can you go squint, Mark? You all look like you're sitting in the mist there. So that's not a good thing. So maybe it's the anointing. I'm not sure. But if I look at the, what my glasses looks like, I understand if I can't see anything. So this morning, even the songs that we've sung now, it's such a powerful declaration. And I wish we can remember it when we're in the middle of stuff. When we're going through stuff in our lives that we can raise our voices. I appreciate what you shared this morning, is that we don't go in and out of God's presence. Well, we shouldn't. Because He's the God who is here. He's the God who is with us. So we can continually just dwell in His presence and walk with Him. And I guess it's up to us how much of that we actually experience and how much of that we actually walk in. All right, is hy reg? Oh, genade. All right. We'll expect delivery soon. All right, so can I read for us Isaiah 43? Verse 1 to 3. Hey. It's just that the eyes may become thous, and I don't know what's going to happen if I read without the glasses. So, you see, this glasses is terrible because you must get the angle right. That multifocal stuff. It says, but now, thus says the Lord. So who's speaking? Okay, so three of you noticed that. That's awesome. Okay, he says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Now, it's very interesting, the timing of this message, because I'm sure you would have heard that we are on a level 9 warning for another storm hitting us. Have you heard this? Okay, so we've got family that's on the road at the moment, and last night we had to sort of try and navigate how are we going to get them safely to their destination. Should they drive, should they not drive, etc., because they're expecting all these winds. But who of you remember September last year? When a similar warning came, a level 9 warning, and being proper Cape Townians, we kind of went, we are used to wind, and a bit of rain, and then stuff happened. And I've got a few photos just as a reminder, just to show you. Can you? Yeah. This photo here, that top right one, is the bridge at Botrivier. That was closed for many months. Interesting thing is, that was, I think, the Sunday, no? The Monday, we left for Hermanus. And if you've gone to Hermanus before, there at the T-junction where you turn right to Arabella, no? So we drove past there, went to Hermanus, we were there for the week. And when we came back on the Friday, that very same road when we passed over was closed. Yeah, because half the road was gone. And I went, thank you, Lord, for angels, that you can even sort out a road for me to get safely where I needed to be. And that road was closed for a long time, as they had to, the whole stormwater system under it was washed away, so the road actually collapsed. So, but this was a terrible time. Can you put the next slide on as well? Go back one. That bottom left one is actually at Milk on the Beach, if you've ever been there. Up Onrus, yeah. So we actually went there for a coffee, and we got there, and being used to that little spot with a beautiful beach and everything, we arrived there, and this is what we saw. The beach was gone. You'll see there to the left at the top, That beach went to about where the waves are actually. That was all gone. So huge impact of the storm. Okay, the next slide. Roads washed away. Later we had the camp in Claymont. And I remember us trying to negotiate on how we're going to get there safely. You know, which roads are we going to take? Johannes took a road, a gravel road, which I was contemplating going. And then he was like, no, that road's not a good idea. Now, massive impact on the storm. I remember Kobus and Danielle being stuck in Franschhoek because the water came and the mud and everything flowed into the town, and they couldn't actually leave. You know, the truth is, when we see storms, when we're on a storm, and we're the day before, they're expecting the storm to hit, and who knows what's going to happen now again. And I think it's a good idea for us to pray that God will even intervene, that, you know, because there's a lot of people that was displaced, etc., because of the storms, and I believe we just need to pray and trust God. But storms are the worst when you're in them, right? Have you ever been in a good thunderstorm or anything like that, where it's rain and it's hail and it's just, you know, it's terrible stuff? But storms are terrible when you are in them. When you are in a storm, I think probably one of the most important things for you to consider is just to survive. Maybe to protect yourself or your property, your loved ones, etc. I mean, we even had conversations, as I said, you know, you need to hide stuff, put stuff away, you know, pin stuff down. I don't know, if you're camping on a weekend like that, the Here help you. Because your tent will be somewhere, you know, you'll be kite flying with your tent going somewhere. And the truth is, storms are relentless. They destroy things, they reveal things, and they definitely change things. And I think this is evidence. And storms definitely demands our attention. You cannot just go, it's a storm. It demands your attention. It demands you actually looking at it and going, what is going on here? Storms will challenge what you've built. Scripture tells us that when the storms come and the winds come, they will test the foundations. So when you and I face storms in our lives, I think one of the big things that are tested is what you have built. What's the foundations that are in your life? What are you standing on? You know, the one thing, I know this is only me that does this, but the one thing I do very well when it comes to storms in life is I complain. We've got Johannes currently on an extremely good streak of complaining. We must pray for him. No, I'm just kidding. just lay hands on him there, please. Okay. But, you know, the one thing is, like I said, when we face storms, suddenly we only see the bad. Why? Because that's where you are. You are in the midst of this thing. Now, if you think of, if you go back to Isaiah 43 there, you will notice that God speaks first. Nah. And in speaking, he affirms origin and ownership. And I want you to see this, because this is very important for where we're going this morning. He affirms, firstly, that he is the Lord who created you, the one who formed you. Now, if I read that, then I have to acknowledge that this God that is speaking here was intricately involved in making me. I mean, Psalms tells us when you and your mother's womb, he formed you with great detail and put you together, you know, precisely the way he wanted you to be. So he's a God that is close. I mean, you don't form something and it's just like, oh, whatever. The one who makes you, and in here, in this portion, he actually affirms that. And I believe when we go through storms and things in life, we need to remember firstly that He is the God who loves us. He's the God who forms us. He's the God who created us. He's a God that knows every little thing about you, where He's going with you, what He's planned for you, and everything. And that affirmation should be the rock on which we stand when we face difference. And then he doesn't stop there. He continues. He says, fear not. Fear not. Two little words that we hear but don't hear. Fear not. Yes, Lord. What's going to happen? You know, this is going to fall apart. You know, this is all crazy. My child has said, fear not. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. This is terrible. Then you speak to someone and say, how are you doing? No, I'm fine. All is good. But it's when it's you behind your doors, when you're alone, suddenly that fear grips your heart. And I believe we need to hear this morning that the Creator, the one that forms us, says to us, fear not. Why? Because I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. Now there's a whole sermon just in that. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. He didn't go, hey, Jay. Hey, Jay, call me so. That's not where he knows you by name. Even that names that you don't like, that your mama gave you. You know, that my mama gave me so many names, they don't make forms long enough these days for me to write them all down in. But He knows me intricately and passionately for who I actually am. He knows you the same way. He says, you are mine. Again, ownership. You know, sometimes I think we wonder where God is. Especially when we face the rivers and the waters and the fire. Especially when we face the storms in life. We wonder where God is. And when I read this, I see a God who is close. To hook on again to what Nicole said, I am in His presence. Because why? He actually wants to be with me. So I shouldn't fear because I am His. He knows me by my name. That's such a special place to be. But I guess if we read Matthew 7, there's something I guess we need to do. Matthew 7 says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man. Now, what's the word you need to hear today? Firstly, that He loves you, that He knows you, He knows your name, no? That He's for you. If you hear that and you do it, if you live in that, what will change? And this is now while you're facing the different things. He says, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. Now, I can tell you my house took a beating last night. There was a point somewhere close to 11 o'clock, we've got a corrugated sheet iron. They were sitting in front of the TV doing something there. And I don't know if the sheet metal is still up there. Because it went, quack, 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 and I wondered just who got a donation now of a piece of sheet metal coming that way. Now, I haven't checked yet. But when I'm going home after the service, I have to go and inspect if my roof is still there. And this is now, the storm is only coming tomorrow. So I was lying last night thinking I need to drill holes in my wall, put in anchors, put belts across the roof and stuff to hopefully just keep the sheet metal on my roof. On the other side, I was thinking maybe I'll get a new TV. You know, if the water comes through, you know, there's benefits, you know. Yes, I can be a Philistine if I really want to. But the winds beat the house and blew against it, but it did not fall because it has been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat against that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And that's why I say when storms come, they will test the foundation on which we have built. When storms come, they challenge the word of God in your life. Now, if you have little word, I assume you will fall quicker. But the more I know His word and I do it, because that is the key here, right? Not just to be hearers of that word, but to actually be doers of that word. And there's various things that we need to do in life, and one of them will be the missions week, where we are obeying Matthew 28, and He's saying, go and make disciples of all nations. See, when I hear the words of the Lord, everything changes. Even as we read Isaiah 43, as we hear the words in that scripture, and I know many of us has used the scripture to get through some challenging times, but I don't need to just hear it, I need to actually do it. I need to obey it. And when I hear the word of God, that is exactly the thing that I need to build my life on, to build on that solid rock. Now, Isaiah 43 continues, and he writes this. He says, when you pass through the waters, it's a very sad and solemn occasion that this when is not an if, because that would have changed that whole sentence. I could have done just with an if. But it says when, which tells me that James 1 is right. When you face various trials, when you have these things that come against you, when you have the storms coming against you, when this happens, I can respond. So in other words, in the context of Isaiah 43, the waters, the rivers, and the fire will come. They will come. And it's okay. Because my Lord has spoken already. Before He said this, He already affirms who I am. He already affirms who my origin and everything. And He says, listen, I'm with you. I know you by your name. So let it come. So let it come. James in the Cobus Meyer translation says, you know, when you see a trial coming, blow up the balloons, get some cake, invite your friends, tell them, listen, I'm having a party because I'm going through a trial. Something we don't often want to do. You know, when you read this, this is enough to just to scare me. Maybe to scare you. But it doesn't scare a child of God. Why? Because my Father has spoken. My Father has spoken. So that doesn't scare me. So let them come. It is okay. And if you read James, he says, listen, when you face these various trials, they will work in your life. And he puts a beautiful little phrase for me there. And he says, when they are done, you will be complete and lacking nothing. I love that. I want to be complete and lacking nothing. I want to be in that space. But I get there through the previous verses that says I'm going to face various trials. And that's why I blow up the balloons. We've just gone through an interesting couple of months. I calculated by the time Lorette will be done, it will be 3.5 months. 3.5 months now of fun and games. Yes, I can make food. I can wash washing. I can mop floors. You know, just phone me. You can rent me. But I'm tired now. Okay. And then when He's done with this, when He says this, then the most incredible promises follows this. And you go there. Bennett, thank you. One more. He says, I will be with you. So the The waters will come, the rivers will come, the fire is coming. But he says, I. Who's this that's speaking? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one to whom nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Yes, you look at your circumstances, you go like, how will we get through this? And he goes like, I'm with you. Don't worry, don't fear. And then he says the next thing. The rivers shall not overwhelm you. So you might be in the river, but it will not overwhelm you. You might go down every now and then, but it won't overwhelm you. And I think if we face trials and storms and stuff in our lives, if we just declare this truth into that storm, it's like Jesus on that boat saying, shh, hey, shh, be quiet. And then he continues, he says, the fire shall not burn you. And the flame shall not consume you. Do you see the shall nots? That is some good words in a good sentence. I can get Peter up here now to do the whole English translation thing again for us on what this means. Nah? But I'm not going to let you loose just now, brother. It shall not overwhelm you. It shall not burn you. It shall not consume you. And I will be with you. In other words, he's there. Why? Is this okay? Why can I do this? Because he says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. He is the Holy One. He is the one who redeemed you. He is the one who saves you. When I was on my sabbatical, for those that's visiting, I was on a sabbatical November, December, and January. And in November, I was there at the Dom. Me and Peter, he met me there the next day, but when I got there, I started walking around. Now, the Dom, if you've never heard about the Dom, no, it's not somewhere in the Transvaal Arends. Yeah, it's actually other side of Gansbaai. It's where the road ends, and there's this little place next to the sea. Beautiful. And I was walking on this beach, and it sort of curves to the right, and then it's got this little bay that it forms. And I was walking alongside this beach, and I'm Stoxila Leon, so I'm kind of a bit bored, and I'm chucking stones into the sea and, you know, taking a few pictures and so on. And as I went into the bay, it's like I just felt God say to me, have you noticed it? I'm like, yeah, it's beautiful. And he says, but have you not noticed it? And I went, what, Lord? I'm bored, man. I'm throwing stones into... I'm like, what are you talking about, Father? And he says, have you seen the damage? And then I saw it. Because after that storm, that entire face of that little bay and everything changed. Rocks was exposed. Places that were covered with sands previously was open. I mean, there's a dune there. And part of that dune is gone, and all you see is the roots and the stuff that's hanging there. And it was actually ugly. It looked terrible. Dirt and stuff that was there was lying everywhere, you know. And I sort of walked around that whole bay, and it struck me the impact of the storm. And I felt my father saying to me, Quibus, you know, you so often go through things in life. You have a storm that hits your life, and it's you're going through it, and it's scary and everything, and then the storm is over. But what you don't do then is recognize what has changed. You don't stop and pause and go, wow. And being a good Christian, being a someone that wants to walk by faith, you know, you just kind of pull up your pants and you know, put a new shirt on and everything, and you just hit the road, failing to recognize the impact of what has happened. And I realized at that moment, for me, I had to face what has happened through COVID and how it's impacted my life, my family's life, my children's lives. Suddenly I had to pause and I had to go, what happened? And I had to recognize the rocks that is exposed, the roots and everything, and how the landscape has actually changed. Before that, I was kind of headed in certain direction, had certain things planned, etc. And now suddenly, everything has changed. And all I wanted to do is carry on. I just want to get over this and just carry on. And he said to me, no, just pause, my son, and just look around. What has changed? What has changed? No, not my hair. But in what I'm thinking about, what I'm pondering about, and how even the fear has tried to grip my lifestyle, my faith walk, tried to squash it. So we often don't stop and pause. You go through the waters, you go through the rivers, you face the fire. Stuff happens in your life, and then you don't pause and you go, Father, what are you saying about all of this? We just simply try to move on. You know, I like it. Nothing's happened. And I realize I've been thinking about this. What is the impact of the last, let's call it 3 months, of what we've gone through as a family? What is God saying to me even in the midst of this? Let's not be those that when a storm hits or we go through something that we fail to stop and recognize God in it and actually turn to Him and say, Father, speak to me about what's actually happening here in my life. What has changed in your life? What was destroyed? What do you have to rebuild? And are you going to build it the same way or are you going to build it differently? Because I guess the one thing about a storm, when it washes away, and I remember in that storm how you would see the little pikies, you know, going down to the beach, they drifting into the sea and everything. And when we sat there at Milk on the beach, the poles and stuff was here in the river before us. The roads, that little wooden paveways was gone. How would I build differently? What would I change? You know, maybe the faulty foundation that I've built on was challenged. Am I going to just simply put it back? Or am I going to say, Father, what do I need to do differently in my life from this point? You see, when a storm hits, and already the guys are meeting and so on, what do we need to do? And when the storm hits and after the storm, there's impact studies and analysis and everything, and then they have a strategy to fix stuff, and then they make resources available and they fix it. What is your response? What is your strategy? Are we just taking some topics and deleting that out? You know, backspace, that didn't happen, let's just... Because if I read James, then he says, and you can go and read it, James 1. He says, when you've gone through these things, that as they go through your life, they will work in your life. And things are going to change. And you will walk out the other side better than when you went into it. So this morning I want you to consider what has happened over the past few years, what has happened in the last month, 3, 4, what is the impact of that storm in your life? Do you even acknowledge it? Or are you even denying that you have faced something in your life and you're saying that didn't happen? I'm okay. Have you spoken to the Lord about it? Are you engaging with someone that can counsel you to help you get through this? So I've got three questions that I just want to ask you this morning. How has the storms of your life, recent and maybe not so recent, how have they challenged your faith? Maybe you say to me, no, Kobus, I'm fine. I still believe in Jesus. I'm good. Then my next question will be, has it influenced your trust in Him? You know, you serve Him, but there's certain things you don't want to trust Him with. You know, maybe a storm in your life has been healing or whatever, and because it didn't come, you know, like you don't trust Him to do that. Maybe you've been praying for answers or stuff to come through your life, and you're saying, but I can't trust anymore, God anymore. Or are you still, because you're alive actually, and you're running to Him, willing to place your trust in Him again? How has the impact of the storms of your life changed your view of people, leadership, friendships, families? How has the impact of the storm, or the river, or the fire, or the waters, how has it challenged your faith? Have you even recognized the storm? What it has done? This morning, I want to encourage you just to stop, turn around, and face it. Don't face it in your humanity. Turn around with Jesus and go, what do we do about this now? How has this changed? How do I need to respond? Because through that, I believe God wants to build your faith, make you stronger. Because for the next season, you're probably going to need exactly that. And please, when you turn around and you face these things, don't try and fix everything all at once. So many times when we recognize something that has happened, we just want to fix it all. But we have to have the patience to say, Father, but what do you want to focus on right now? Because I think, truthfully, I think when God starts getting into my life with what has happened, and He has to deal with everything all in one go, I will not be able to handle it. So it's okay to take it one step at a time. And just start by acknowledging what God has done. In this last scripture, is it on there? This is a scripture that changes everything for me, that I love. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. For those who are called according to His purposes. Can we stand?